Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And welcome back to another Divine Intervention podcast tasting. Having spent a couple of weeks on the grain, we are back to the grape with my kind of wine. It looks, just looking at the glass, a fairly robust, heavy red. Got a very nice nose. But before I describe the wine's nose, we have three people with noses who've joined me in the studio. We have from Prosopo Restaurant, Dino Fagus, the proprietor and sometimes chef.
Hello, John.
We have from Gumtree Auto, Jeff Osborne. If you want to buy a car, he's your man. If you want to sell a car, he's your man. If you want to steal a car, he'll report you. And last but not least in the studio, we have our good mate, a beer lover and a beer maker, but he also has the odd glass of wine from time to time, just for recreational purposes, Stuart Thompson.
Hi, John.
And down we go to the Cape, to Michael Olivier, my partner in wine, the man who not only cooks brilliantly, he also drinks brilliantly. And he's about to show us how well he drinks as he schlurps his way up our link. Michael, great to see you again.
Oh, John, thanks so much. Thank you.
Schlurping up our link isn't quite as rude as it sounds.
No.
So we have a red. It's from, first when I heard about it, I thought it was from the Vaal River because it's called Dival, but this is spelt with a wa rather than a va. It's Dival 2013 CT Dival. I'm not quite sure what that means, but no doubt you can enlighten us, Michael.
Absolutely. Just a bit of history. The Divals are celebrating this year their 300th anniversary of being in South Africa. And there's quite an interesting link with Pinotage going back in history. You know, Abraham Perold was the viticulturist who created Pinotage in the sort of mid-1920s. And by 1941, he had cultivated sufficient vines to be able to make a barrel of Pinotage wine. And he turned to C.T. Dival, Charles Theron Dival, who was born on the Dival estate, family of the current owners. He turned to him, who he was an enologist at Stellenbosch University, and he actually made the first Pinotage wine in South Africa in 1941. So that's just a little bit of a glimpse back into the past. Now, they've also by chance got the oldest Pinotage vineyard in South Africa. It's called Top of the Hill Pinotage, which is their flagship wine as well. And you must see those venerable old ladies and gentlemen in that vineyard. I mean, they've got stumps that could replace table legs. They're beautifully looked after. There's a wonderful big wild fig tree standing right in the middle of the vineyard. But let's get to the wine. It's got the most wonderful color in the bottle, sort of deeply, darkly, a sort of blood plum ruby, and then paling out to garnet around the edges, and you've got all that wonderful Pinotage kind of fruit. You've got the sort of the red berry from the Pinot Noir parent. There's prunes there. There's black currant, and there's the Cinsault parent gives it a nice sort of rustic brambly kind of flavor there. It's very full in the mouth and wonderfully fruity. It's got soft tannins and just on the aftertaste, it's lovely and dry and wonderfully fruity, and it just takes such a long time to pale away. I think this is a really, really nice wine, and it's a great food wine. It would go with spicy stuff like maybe a nice lamb shank casserole or some sort of one of those North African tagines with all those wonderful spicy flavors.
Michael, you're making me hungry, which is not a good thing because I have wine to drink first. I'm enjoying it. I must say, initially I found it a little bit too fruity and ripe for my personal palate, but it has settle down a bit in the glass. I suppose 2013, you could easily keep this for a couple of years, couldn't you, Michael?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I would think from vintage, you could certainly take it on anything up to 10 years.
Well, I'm not going to. I'm going to continue drinking it. Stuart Thompson.
I think it's really, really nice. I say that with a surprised joy, if you like, because I'm not an active, devoted red wine consumer, but I think this is really nice. It's got a lot of range and balance and breadth of flavor. It's a very good-looking wine. Not that maybe matters as much as what happens in your mouth. And I think that the taste is really, really good. Light and heavy all at the same time and well-balanced. And I've got a little bit of pork in the fridge at the moment. And I'm thinking of doing what I've done before, which involves a little bit of preparation with honey and ginger, a couple of fresh garden herbs. Let that rest up for 2 or 3 hours and then bake off in quite a hot oven.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to do fantastically with that. So
yeah.
I'm quite excited to have found this, so thank you all.
Now you're making me hungry as well. Okay, Dino, did you know Duval? I'm afraid it wasn't in the state I was very familiar with before this taste.
No, that's why I'm very excited that you've exposed me to this. I won't talk about food to make you any hungrier, but it's beautiful. It doesn't have the bitterness you'd expect of a Pinotage, and it's really smooth and fruity, and the fruitiness does linger. It just makes you want to chew on your sip of wine. One thing I do want to ask Michael, I was under the impression that someone else was the first Pinotage winemaker in South Africa.
Abram Perrault was the man who created Pinotage. He was a viticulturist.
Sure.
And I mean, it's well documented that Chartrand
Duval. Just clarify the Pinotage. Is that a hybrid or a blending between two different types of grape, or is it actually a wine varietal that's been sort of interbred between Pinot Noir and something else?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. He cross-pollinated Pinot Noir because he wanted to create a wine that had the nobility of Pinot Noir. He cross-pollinated with a grape now called Cinsault, but which was then called Hermitage. And that's a sort of a southern French, more sort of lusty, heavy-bearing, and what he was wanting to do was to create something that was noble and could bear well. And then when he'd created sufficient material in the vintage of 1941, he asked C.T. Duval to make the first barrel of Pinotage. So that's where the story comes from. And that's quite well documented, both at Etobicoke, which is the Duval family home, and also on the Pinotage Association website.
Fascinating stuff, Michael. And I know we talk about this almost every time we taste a Pinotage, but Pinotage is something that we in South Africa should be pretty proud of, isn't it? It's our grape, our hybrid that was born and bred and invented and created in Stellenbosch.
Absolutely. And Peter Duval, who is the owner of Duval Wines, was telling me the other day that he was in Bordeaux at I think it was Vinexpo, and he had some of his top-of-the-hill Pinotage there, which is his flagship wine, and he took it to a tasting panel and just popped it on the table. And people wanted to know what variety it was and what a wonderful wine it was and how brilliant the wood was and how fabulous the fruit was. So he was very chuffed.
Excellent. Are you chuffed, Jeff Osborne? I haven't asked your tasting opinion.
Absolutely superb. And I think, as Michael so eloquently identified, numerous fruits spring out at one, and they're very detectable on the palate. I kind of picked up a bit of licorice as well. I don't know if that's possible. But there's no question in my mind that this would certainly complement a good, rich, tasty meal like a stew, Tlechiko lamb, something along those lines. On a cold winter's evening, this would be a good companion for a fine meal.
Absolutely.
Well, it's certainly gone down quite well. And just from your point of view, Dino, do you have people who are baffled by Pinotage, who just don't know what it is when they see it on the wine list, or do you try to guide them through these linguistic challenges?
Pinotage is gaining traction, I think, among South Africans, especially in Pretoria. But the foreigners who want to have a South African experience are always looking for a Pinotage, so I don't have that problem.
Okay, you have a problem keeping them in stock.
Enough of them.
Okay. Well, Michael Olifant, just your final thoughts on Pinatar as the ambassador for South Africa. I know we've discussed this before, but to my mind, it is one way forward in marketing our wines, and there are people who seem to believe that we're not doing the best job we should be doing in that area.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things about Pinotage is that you have such a variety. You know, you've got the sort of the delicate, fruity, fresh, young, purple-coloured Pinotages, which are stunning. You've got the coffee chocolate Pinotage, which everybody's totally crazy about. And then you've got your really serious Pinotages, like the Duval, Top of the Hill, and many others that I sort of can't just name at the moment, but Simonsuch, the Red Hill Pinotage, which are really right up there with some of the finest wines that we produce in this country, and we should use it because we can spread it across such a wide market.
Stuart, any thoughts on Pinotage the brand?
I think it's definitely something to do more with. I think there's no doubt that this phenomenon of names of origin or whatever, you know, the feta cheese obviously comes from somewhere, champagne comes from somewhere, and I think this really does highlight that one of the nicest things about wine, which is that devotion to place, to terroir, which is, you know, you're trying to encapsulate a landscape in a bottle, and I think this is probably our best shot at trying to put that ticket forward. So I definitely think we should be making more better Pinotage and promoting the hell out of it. They're really good.
That just takes me back to something that Michael just said. You're right, Michael, there is a wide variety of Pinotage, just as there is a wide variety of Shiraz. And I was recently at a tasting of some auction wines.
Yeah.
The Pinotage had been quite expensive. The Shiraz had been the most expensive of the batch we were tasting. But I'm afraid it was the good old Cabernet Sauvignon that really, really got me going. And I have to say, in my defense, that there was nothing wrong with the Pinotage. In fact, I really enjoyed it. It's just that there was something that managed to pip it to the post. Jeff Osborne, a final thought from you.
Yeah,
is it useful having this proudly South African brand?
Absolutely. And I must say that, John, you know, proudly South African, it's great to know that it is unique to South Africa. And in terms of promoting it, I'm just wondering whether or not the labels do full justice in describing or highlighting the fact in bold print that this is unique, this particular cultivar is unique to South Africa. I think that maybe the winery should pick up on that one and really promote that, particularly for export purposes and so on.
That's a good point, Jeff, because on the front label there is no mention of the word Pinotage. You have to turn the bottle round, and obviously if you're in a bottle store scanning some racks, it could well be under the Pinotage banner, so you've got a good idea of what you're buying, but might not be.
Equally, it might be misfiled, in which case you'd be sick.
I think I don't think I'd be too disappointed if I bought this by mistake.
Entirely not.
Well, it only remains once again for me to wind this tasting up. Thanks to our studio guests, Dino Fagas, Jeff Osborne, and Stuart Thompson.
Thanks very much for having us.
And thanks for being had. And many thanks to our guru in Cape Town, Michael Olifant. Once again, you've managed to source something I'd never heard of, but I'm delighted to have been acquainted with. And another surprise, no doubt, awaits us next week.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.